Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
George Bernard Shaw said, youth is a wonderful thing. What a crime it is to waste it on children.
Amen.
Okay, so clap. All right, guys, so what have you been working on?
Okay, so I'm going on another sabbatical, and I'm super excited about this one. I'm going to be like 3 days in the woods by myself.
3 days? You're going camping?
No, God, no. I'm going to...
Wait a minute. I'm just going to go hiking or something.
I've got a cabin in the woods. Did I not share this with you?
No.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Did I not share with you either?
Yeah, you shared.
Okay.
I'm the only one you didn't share with.
I'm the one that gave you the idea.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you going up on Montesano? Do you have a cabin up there?
No. So the funny thing is, I told you guys before, I got two commissions. Well, and I made a promise to like myself, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, that if I had X number of dollars, I would finally take that vacation by myself and kind of to refill my cup, to really kind of focus on me, not have any responsibilities, no kids, love my husband, all that. So anyway, I got the two commissions. That was more than what I needed. And I was like, ooh, I could do this and I could do that. And then that voice in my head said, you promised. And I was like, okay. I called Julie right away. And I was like, you're the vacation queen. Where should I go? I want a cabin in the woods. And her first thought was Helena, Georgia.
Yep.
And I was like, oh yeah, we went whitewater rafting there. But that's like 5 hours away. And then we went whitewater rafting another place up in Tennessee.
Ocoee.
Yes, Ocoee. So I got home and I told Ben the idea that I would get a cabin in the woods for like 3-4 days by myself. They would join me so I didn't feel that mom guilt. And then we would go whitewater rafting.
Oh, fun.
And so, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And I'm so stinking excited. I'm supposed to use that time also to write a book about the art pricing calculator. And, you know, that's one of my goals. Whether that actually happens, I'm going to kind of try and actually go with the flow and be there. I am taking my dogs, so I have protection. And plus, it'll get me out of the cabin.
I heard that. Go with the flow.
Yeah.
The Ocoee.
Yeah.
Good. That's very good.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. I don't think I've been by myself like that in over 20 years.
Oh, wow. That's going to be really fabulous for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I can't wait.
Your spirit.
I can't tell you how important it is to do that.
Yeah.
I learned this year. This year.
Yeah.
Best thing ever.
Yeah.
So what are you working on?
Well, I will be in Spain.
So another art retreat.
Another art retreat.
That's awesome.
And, you know, just experiencing Spain. I've never been to Spain.
Now, is this for watercolor, digital?
It's watercolor and art business. Combination retreat, just like last time. And after the retreat, I'll be in Barcelona for 4 days.
Oh, how fun.
Exploring Barcelona.
By yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, go girl.
Yeah.
I know. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Like, so
I'm excited. But then that's kind of my last trip for the year. So I don't know what I'm going to do after that. I don't think my family's going to let me leave again. They're like, you've been gone a lot this year. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. You're like, I know.
I know. This is the longest span of time I've been home this year. Has been between these trips this time. So, yeah. But it'll all be good. And I'm very excited to get away and just create and kind of go with the flow and discover new places and little white villages and all kinds of cool stuff.
But yeah. Barcelona is one of my bucket list cities to go to.
So, and see Gaudi's architecture, doing a couple tours for that. And yeah, so that's what I'll be doing.
Oh, fun. Yep. What about you, Rachel?
Well, I finishing up my little black and white portrait of the queen. So I'm excited about that one. And then I want to start one of Prince Philip.
Oh, that'll be cool.
So I have the queen and
I'll have both of them.
Oh, and I know. You've got another podcast, Bubbly Bibbly. Are you planning anything with that one?
Yeah. So we're back. We're in season two. So wow. I've already read like 5 books, like just this month.
Oh my gosh.
Nice.
So I think that's been really like my year. It's 5 books.
Yeah. So we've been doing a lot of that. We've upgraded and redid our whole Patreon and how we're doing everything. Been cleaning up our email list, kind of behind the scenes, and I'm getting our cocktail page where you can just really search. We have just been putting them up as we come, but now it'll be like orderly where you can search for it and click on it and then get the recipe. So
how many cocktails do you have up there now, do you think?
I've probably about 15.
15 cocktails. And these are tried and true by you
these
guys.
Are good ones.
Oh,
yeah, good. Like really good. So
awesome.
So yeah, just getting back in the swing of that too. So.
Good book, good drink, good times. There you go.
Yep. Can't beat that.
So in this episode, we are talking about what advice would we give our younger self? And I don't even know where to start. So you guys are going to have to start here and let me throw it in.
Yeah, I don't even know where I would start.
Because I was so young and so dumb. I probably needed to tell myself a lot of stuff. So I don't know. Is there one thing that sticks out or two things or what would you say?
Well, I look at my daughter a lot and she's just a mini me. And I feel so bad about that so many ways because she's such a type A overachiever, you know, worrywart. And so for her, I tell her the same thing that I even tell myself now, which is just go for it. The worst that can happen is what? And then stop overthinking everything. Like, because the scenarios that you come up with in your head are never actually going to happen.
Exactly.
And
really don't.
Yeah, but it's so
hard.
It
never happens the way you worry it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, do you go through and have 3 different scenarios? If this happens, this is how I'll react. If this happens, this is what I'll do. And if C happens, then I'll do this.
And it's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm still like, I'm 46 years old. I still don't know how to make that stop.
I don't either.
And I don't know how to help
her. I overthink every.
Yeah.
I do too.
And I have one daughter that is even worse than me about it. So I'm constantly. So that's a really good one. I mean, I would agree with that. I would tell my younger self that.
Yeah.
I think I'd also tell my younger self that, you know, the song, it's everything's going to be all right. Like I swear that's like my theme song. It's all going to be all right. It's all going to work out. It always works out.
Yeah.
And I had to actually tell my youngest daughter that all the time because she's a worrier like I was. Is, you know, it all works out the way it's supposed to work out.
Yeah.
It always does.
Well, and even when it didn't, looking back, it still wasn't at near what I feared it was going to be.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it was like, oh, okay, you're a little disappointed in me, but we'll fix it. We'll move forward.
Right. Mm-hmm. Something better is going to come
like,
along.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You don't hate me for the rest of my life. You know, that kind of thing.
I've got these little, you know, cards. And the one day it was like, let that, you know, stuff go. And then you flip the card over. There's new stuff on the horizon. That's the better stuff. But the stuff is then, you know, dirty word. But and it's so true.
It really is. But I think the biggest thing I think I would tell myself is to follow my heart. You know, I have a tattoo in Spanish that says, wherever you go, go with all your heart. Because it's something my mom told me as I got older was just follow your heart. And had I followed my heart as a younger self, I would have gone into a different career than I did. And I think... not that that held me back because I learned a ton from what I did do, but I think that's important. I think you need to follow your heart and you need to follow your gut. And in fact, I just had that conversation with the kids the other day. We were talking about, you know, just follow your gut when you could. Well, because Lauren's going on a trip by herself, or not by herself, but with a group, uh-huh, a church group, this weekend. And I am like, I said at the dinner table, I'm like, okay, I think my heart is now in my stomach because now I have two kids to worry about going out and about, you know, yeah, technically on their own without their parents, you know. And and so we started talking about, you know, you follow your gut. If you feel unsafe, you're unsafe.
Yeah.
Find something to make you more safe, or call your parents, or, you know, whatever it is you need to do. If you don't, if something in your gut or your heart is telling you that this person is not the type of person to be around, get away, mm-hmm, and follow your gut, follow your heart. Whatever it's telling you, it's 99.9% probably going to be right.
Yeah.
And there's no science to that, but I can't tell you how many times if I would have followed my gut, I would have been right. Mm. And so I kind of interchange gut and heart all the time, but that's why I have that quote on my arm, is to always remember wherever I go, follow my heart.
Yeah, that's me. My, I was trying to think, I can't even think of the word, not my inspiration, but my intuition.
Yes. Intuition. Yes.
Is always right. And yeah, I always tell my kids that too, like that, listen to that inner voice, because mm-hmm, it's never going to lead you astray.
No, never.
There's one thing that I wish I would have been different about in college. I wish I would have had more fun. Instead, I was, you know, focused on grades, focused on the future, you know, getting out in 4 years instead of, like, you know,
I should have been the opposite.
Enjoying my time.
I'm like, I wish I had been more serious and I could have got out in 4 years. And Stephanie's over there going, I wish I'd had more fun.
It's so funny you say friends. That.
I would have brought you over to the dark side.
It's funny you say that.
Really?
Yeah, because I say the same thing. It's like, I worked three jobs and focused on my grades, yeah, and getting out of school. I wanted out of school. I hated school.
See, I loved school so much.
I wanted out. I was done learning. I just wanted out. So I worked three jobs and I just, yeah, got it down so I could get out. And I wish I would have slowed down and had more fun.
So I love this. I love school. I love learning. I love everything about it. I just wish I would have, you know, enjoyed the social aspects more. And I just didn't. I had to stick up my butt about something. And I was no fun. I was really no fun.
Yeah.
So I wish that's something I wish I would have changed. But
I think I would have gone on and gotten my master's when I did. Because I took my GMAT and I should have just gone on and gone. But I let like that summer go, and then I was like already working. I was like, I'm not going to work full time and go to school full time.
Yeah.
And see, Emma's getting hers. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, way to go, girl.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved grad school. Grad school was a lot of fun too. I mean, but I liked the studying thing. And that was the first time I lived by myself. Mm. And I think that's something else I'll tell the kids is,
live by yourself. Yeah.
Live by yourself. Cause they're both, you know, have their own rooms, and it's just more fun, I think, to be independent.
Yeah. And see, and I would actually be a little bit opposite, because I was always by myself. I lived by myself for a while. I would actually tell mine to make sure they have roommates.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they all have their own rooms. And I think it would be important for them to learn how to be more social and interact, because all of us in our house are pretty introverted and introverted. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I think it would be good for them to be forced more into a social situation. I think that's one of the reasons too. I selfishly want our son to go to Notre Dame, because they have to live on campus for 3 years in a dorm.
Oh, really? Wow. Yes.
And I
couldn't wait to get out of the dorm.
I think it would be really good for him to have to live with other people and learn to be responsible, because he has no common sense.
Right.
Bless his heart.
Neil is my introvert. So he always had like one roommate, and his roommates were the worst, just really bad. So his last I think it was this last year. He was like, I really want my own apartment just by myself. And I was like, okay. You know, he just needed it. He was in nursing. They were going to be doing his rotations and stuff. So I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Emma lived with three other girls, like her whole entire time in Alabama until her last semester. Mm-hmm. She moved into a one bedroom. And I got to tell you, well, you know, in Tuscaloosa, you're always right next to the bad section of town. But she really was next to the bad section of town. So we're moving her into her. And she had this cord with a button, like, in her bedroom. And I was like, what is this? She goes, oh, that's the 911 button.
Jesus.
I was like, what? Oh, my gosh. But luckily, she had a really nice dealer downstairs.
Dealer?
Yeah, he was really nice. And he did look after her.
Well, that's nice.
And then right next to her was like this Olympian who was there because his coach was a coach at Alabama. So he was there in Tuscaloosa, you know, practicing with his coach. So, I mean, it ended up being okay. But like for that semester, I was like, she loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She loved being on her own. You know, it really made her grow.
Yeah.
So when she did get a job and move off and she was living, you know, somewhere else, she was like so much more confident. She was so much more confident than I was. And I wish I could have imparted more confidence in myself as a youth.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's funny that she lived under a dealer or above a dealer. I lived across the hall from a dealer.
Really?
I mean,
that's in college.
I mean, you're in college.
I mean, he was a 30-something guy. I mean, he looked out for me, but
that's sweet.
Super nice guy. But yeah, there was a lot of exchanges of dollars happening across the hall.
But he was actually really nice and kept an eye out for. So I was really thankful for. I can't even say his name because I mean, like, just in case someone in Tuscaloosa is listening. But he's a good dealer.
He's a good dealer.
I can tell you where to find him. I can tell you where one is if you need it. Just drop me a comment. Oh my god. I think one of the best pieces of advice I think I could give it, or I could give anybody, is just that the best is yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah.
It's not behind you. I mean, even though
I hope so. Fun, I mean, my goodness.
I had a great childhood. I had a great high school. I had a great college experience. You know, great first work and husband and children and everything. But it always seems to be the sweet time of life, the one I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And to, you know, just to know that the best is yet to come.
And don't, like, I always rushed. I'm glad you said that because thinking back, you know, I always rushed to get to the next thing. That's why, you know, I wanted to get through college and I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. And I was always business minded, which is why I was so late in having kids. And I think that's really important to look back and at our younger selves and say, you know, take in where you're at. Live in that moment. People say that all the time. And it just seems to go in one ear and out the other for so many, but really enjoy where you are at right now because you will never be there again.
Mm-hmm. What I love about this whole conversation is like we're talking to our younger selves, and that could be our kids too.
Mm-hmm.
But not only does this relate to whatever they're going to be doing, it relates to us right now and looking in our art and our career.
Yes.
Enjoy where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
It's not where we're going to end up. It's just where we are right now.
Right.
Well, and I was going to shift the conversation. So what would you tell yourself as an artist like 10 years ago or 20 years ago when you first started? What did you need to hear from this person now?
Mm. Oh, practice, practice, practice. What you're making now is not good enough for where it needs to be.
Okay, my piece of advice is I just bought new brushes. And I'm actually in love with these new brushes, is don't be afraid to get good brushes. Is that sad?
No.
But it's true. It's just like the
tactical. Oh, and the paint.
So I really wish I wouldn't have invested in XYZ watercolors. I wish I would have tried out a couple different professional watercolors before I invested in them because I don't care for that first brand after trying two other brands.
Oh, really?
Yes. They were too granular and gritty compared to the ones I use now are so buttery smooth.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Because I painted with some of your watercolors. Mm-hmm. I liked them.
Yeah. So much better.
Go ahead and, even though you're a beginner, go ahead and get, like, try the different paint.
Yeah. What's the harm?
Right. The thing. You know, buy the same color in each one of the brands you want to try. Yeah. Because
Paint a flower or paint a something.
Yeah. Find your favorite.
Yep.
Yeah.
I really like the oil that we have.
Yeah.
So that we use. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, these brushes, I'm like I'm
rosemary brushes, by the way. I'll say the word because rosemary is the bomb, diggity. And we're not getting paid to say that.
No. And, you know, I was late to the game. I'm like, oh, I'll just keep using these crappy brushes and my makeup brushes even. I was like, whatever brush I was using, I'm like, oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. And then the first time I put the rosemary, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was like an angel. Just the whole thing lit up. And I'm like, looking at this going, holy smokes. Like, go ahead and get the good stuff. Like, I did invest like an aqua board and gesso board and all these different, I like the boards better than the canvas. So I do know that. Too. Like, try the different things.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
Or try acrylic or try watercolor.
Remember, it's play.
Right.
It's play. Joy.
It's joy. Definitely. Yeah.
And that's one thing that I wish I would have done or told myself so long ago, that you don't have to take what you love and monetize it. You don't have to.
No, you don't.
Say that one more time.
You don't have to take what you love and monetize it.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many people.
Yeah.
It's so true. Especially right now. It's like everyone tries to turn whatever it is that they love into a business. And it does not have to be a business.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend. I've told you this, guys, before. She has the most gorgeous artwork. Mm-hmm. And she won't sell any of it. Mm-hmm. She can't. She's like, no, this is like this period. This is, you know, this period. Like, she can tell you she was. What's the memory? What was the inspiration? What was this that meant to her? It's almost like her
visual storybook
journal. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Visual storybook.
I like that idea because I've been trying to figure out
like that.
What do I do with all these paintings? I mean, mm-hmm. I've got so many that I don't have up for sale. I've got a lot that I'm like, I don't think they're worthy of it. But they all, like your friend, have a story. Mm-hmm. So maybe a book would be handy. And then you just, you know, trash the originals or start handing them out or whatever.
I was going to say, exactly. You can scan them into, oh, that's an awesome idea.
I like that
scan
idea.
Them into a book. And then
this would be like, you know,
like your kid's scrapbook.
Right, exactly.
But it's true. It's like, this is my first 5 years.
Yeah.
Boom.
Right. Yeah.
And this is my next. And this is my next.
Yeah.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
Well, I think that's really important too, what you said about, you know, you tried gesso board and aqua board and decided
canvases and linen and whatever. Yeah.
And then you decide what you liked. And I felt like I was always this artist that had to work in a sketchbook. A sketchbook was the only way to work and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. I love loose paper.
Yeah.
That's what I did in, you know, design was loose pieces of paper that we drew plans on. And I think that's why I like the loose paper. I feel it doesn't have to be perfect. If it doesn't look right, I can throw it out. Where if it's in a sketchbook, I feel like it has to be perfect all the time.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
The thing that I'm noticing about all three of us and our answers is it kind of has like one common thing, underlying tone of don't be constrained by the constraints that you set for yourself.
Yeah.
Go outside that box.
Go outside the box. Don't
just step outside.
Don't stay in a box, but explore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, more power to you. If you're like, this is the watercolor. These are my brushes. This is what I'm painting on. And I mean, it's just works for you.
Yeah.
Don't change it.
Be you.
Yeah. Definitely be you.
It's funny that you say that too, because I've been in this mindset of I'm trying to clear stuff out of spaces, bathroom, closet, whatever it might be. And I'm just sticking to what it is that I like. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is what I like. This is why I like it. I'm not going to even bother using the old stuff that I've tried. You know, I have thin, fine, curly hair, finding a gel. I have probably 10 different gels or mousses or whatever under my sink. I'm never going to use because I don't like the way my hair handle it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like clearing that type of stuff out, and that's kind of like getting rid of that color, but it's staying in the box, but yet I've explored a bunch of stuff to find what I like. And that's my point, is explore all sorts of different things to find what you like.
Yeah. And don't hang on to what you don't like.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys let us know what some piece of advice you would give yourself, or have you gotten a piece of advice that has really spoken into your life? And there's another quote that I have found, says, youth is the gift of nature, but age is a work of art.
Ooh. Yes, I
love
that.
Cool?
I love that.
All right, guys. So the best is yet to be. You guys keep remembering that. And until next time.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistsoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.